ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
And so that's why you do comedy now, to sort of prey on women in the industry. Is that sort of why you got into it?
That's not what I'm saying.
I am very, very excited for today's episode, Edie.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Oh, no, I'm really excited. I mean, I've sworn to God she was dead. I'm sure I went to her funeral. She left me a kettle in her will, but here she's just coming.
Maureen.
She's more of a
mother. Who do you think our guest is today?
My Auntie Donna.
No, Maureen, our guest is Broden Kelly from Auntie Donna.
Oh. So my auntie is dead?
Yes.
Oh.
Shall we get started?
Well, she walked out the front door and I said to her, love, if it says 9 o'clock opening on the front door, I have a right to be here at 6:45.
Oh, shocking.
Do you know?
Oh, hello. And welcome to another cuppa with Granny Bingo, the show where we gobble up the biscuits of Australian culture and wash them down with some sweet celebrity tea. Today we're joined by Broden Kelly. He's a podcaster, a comedian, an actor, a writer, a director, and, well, one third of the comedy act, Auntie Donna. Hello, Broden, and welcome to the program.
Good there, champion. Hi. Nice to bloody meet you.
Yeah, that's the
good
one.
Good on you, champion.
Yeah.
Had a good day.
That's a strong handshake.
Now, Broden, I will warn you, I like to think of myself as a bit of the Virgin Trolley from the telly.
Virginia Trolley?
Yes, Virgin Trolley. So I like to do the hard-hitting questions, Broden.
Before you get into it, can we offer our friend a cup of tea?
By all means. Surely. I'm so sorry.
Did you want
tea? I genuinely love a
You'd
cup.
You'd like it? I can do that for you, love.
You play, ma'am. Now, Broden, let's go back to the very start. Tell me, what was it like? You were a child with red hair. Did you get bullied a lot?
Yeah, no, it's funny you mentioned that. I was in year 8 in 2003 when the word Ranger was coined.
Just for you?
No, it wasn't just for me.
You're sort of the patient zero Ranger, are you?
Yeah, and so it was really, really popular and I copped it a lot. And But then I lost my hair. Spoiler alert.
Do you think you got picked on more as a child for having red hair or more as an adult for having no hair? Or now you've got the red beard, do you sort of get double the amount of bullying? Or is it hard to tell because people often say it behind your back, don't they?
Yeah, no, I've been pretty, I think the level of bullying and harassment I've received across my life has been pretty consistent. It's changed though, which is nice.
Because the internet's around now, isn't it? I was looking at some of the comments on some of your videos online, and people can be pretty horrible with some of the things they say, can't they? Mm.
What did you read?
Sort of baldy, who's the bald one, the bald one's the least funny, why is the bald one part of the group?
No, I feel it teaches resilience to me because it can't hurt me.
Okay, you know? Well, no need to snap my head off there. All right.
Why doesn't it hurt you?
Well, because I choose to not let it hurt me.
Mental health.
Mental health. Now, you were the drama captain at school. Do you just love getting bullied, do you? Was it not enough having the red hair and pasty skin and freckles and things? Did you just think, oh, I need a little... I'm a glutton for punishment.
Yeah, but the kids that dyed their hair.
Yeah, no, I was like... Because I was never good at footy and I was never good at any sports, but I was like, I'll show you.
Well, you can't be out in the sun for too long, can you?
That's right.
You might have fallen on the ground on the footy field and someone would have picked up your head and kicked it, thinking it was the Sharon.
Well, that never happened, no, but, you know, it could have, I guess. But, no, I just love drama. As soon, you know what it was? I did anything goes. Cole Porter, you know that?
Yeah. I had a grandson who did that once too.
And this is the ratio, Edith. There was 4 boys in the show and 56 girls, and I thought, I like that.
Yeah. Oh, so you were doing it. So you were doing it not because but because you wanted to. No, that's not as bad, is it?
No, I
don't mind.
I had a great chance to pick up, and I'll tell you what, I did.
Did you? Oh.
And so that's why you do comedy now, to sort of prey on women in the industry. Is that, that's sort of why you got into it?
That's not what I'm saying.
Well, it sounds like you sort of, you saw an opportunity to target women in...
No, I think there's a difference between being in year nine and wanting to be around, you know, people you're attracted to, and so gravitating towards that. I have a partner now. I am off the market. And I that's not why I do comedy.
I've just got to ask. I've got to ask the questions that the people at home are sitting there and thinking. Now, that's not the only musical you pranced around in. You also played Rooster Hannigan in school production of Annie.
Yes.
Now, I'm wondering. I was reading about this and I thought I would have loved to have seen it. I'm sorry I didn't know it was on. But with your red hair and your drama captain connections, why didn't you go for the role of Annie?
Well, I would have loved to, but obviously that role is for a small girl. And I was a very masculine, like broad-shouldered, present man, 15-year-old man.
How long ago was that?
That was in 2005 that I was that. But then it was clear what I was going to be as a man.
Yep.
And so they sat me down and said, you are great, but we're going to put you in the... in the masculine role.
Right.
Yeah. And so what was it? Boost?
Rooster Hannigan.
What does that do?
Oh, he steals the little girl. He preys on the little girl and steals her.
So typecasting there.
That's what I'm realising now. Yeah. The other role I could have got was Daddy Warbucks, which is a bald man, which I
did. But if you did it now.
That's who
If anyone's casting any very amateur productions of Annie, then Broden Kelly is looking for a role.
He can, it doesn't have to be amateur. It could be... could be main stage.
Could be main stage. Could.
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 Well, I was going to say, Maureen, that I do sketch comedy, which requires lots of wigs and accoutrement and different things.
No, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've seen it.
You've seen it?
Mm-hmm.
We had a show on the ABC for a very fleeting moment.
I know. I wrote in some letters about that. Some of the comments on that one were mine.
Oh, I know you.
So, speaking of, you've got your little... sketches and things now, but I know when you were back at school, you had a year 7 drama teacher who told you you were never going to amount to anything. Do you ever think of, you know, sending in one of your little videos, you know, perhaps the clip of you singing Everything's a Drum, you know, and saying, look at me now, you know, I've made
it. Ended up.
I'm a real professional big time actor. Everything's a drum. Everything's a drum.
No, I don't think of sending Mr. Ramsey a letter. I don't know where he is now.
How old was Mr. Ramsey when he told you you'd amount to nothing?
Probably in his 50s.
Well, I'd say a 50-year-old high school drama teacher knows what it's like to amount to nothing. So
it's true.
Yeah, I'd take that advice and run with it.
Yeah, no, he was an interesting fellow.
Now, it turns out that your parents, they owned a Michelle's patisserie.
Oh.
That is my favourite.
That's like that.
Your
utopia is, you know, probably tap dancing around with Fred Astaire or something like that. Ours is a Michelle's patisserie.
Coffee and cake of the day special. You ever get that?
Oh, yeah. I'd get carrot cake with the icing. That was my favourite. I used to go to one in Forest Hill, which is a suburb in Melbourne, and they had the Michelle's there. And I said to the bird one day, her name was Denise.
Yeah.
I said, Denise, how do you make the coffee so nice?
Well, I remember my parents with the older generation, people in their twilight years, would often bring back their coffee and say, that's too cold.
Maureen makes a habit of that. That's one of her hobbies.
It's more a competitive thing now for me. It's like a tick. I have to say it when someone hands me a coffee, and it has led to some severe internal burns. Did you work there at the...
I did.
Michelle's, you did a few shifts.
When I was in year 7, and I'd go in illegally and just work. And I had the hots for one of the girls working at Jetty Surf next door.
Oh, yes.
And then, but then I stopped a burglary once there.
Did you?
There was this bloke. This is at a place.
They were trying to steal something from Michelle's.
Exactly.
They?
I know. So it was, are you familiar with Northland Shopping Centre?
Oh,
yes. The machetes.
Yeah, the machetes. So many machetes there.
And not enough bins. Not enough machete bins.
Oh, well, this. What is this machete bin carrying?
It's Daniel Bloody Andrews. Okay, I know he's out of office now.
And there's not even a train.
He's still the string puppet master, and they say it's a new woman, but I can tell it's him in a wig because he's making everyone a gay. And he's got shares in Johnson & Johnson.
And the issue is that
and that's why he invented COVID and got rid of the level crossing machetes.
Why would you give up a machete? Because he is a bastard.
Yeah, I don't like him either. But yeah, his hands are all over that, aren't they?
Now, listen, I want to hear more about this robbery. Tell me, who was stealing what?
We were in an island, Michelle's, and there was a hairdresser next door, and we had the door open, and there was this bloke with sunnies on, and I walked up and said, "Do you want something?" He said, "Oh, I'm waiting for my wife." And then I walked around the corner, came back, and he was in the Michelle's under the counter pulling out a bag. And I looked at him, little redhead boy, little Annie-looking individual.
Yes, yeah.
But I stopped
him. What did he take?
Nothing. I stopped him.
He dropped it.
He grabbed
saw your hair and went, ah, and ran.
I don't know if that's the case.
He saw your hair and went,
do you have siblings?
I got a little brother.
I was going to say, because I would have thought that parents wouldn't put their children in such a line of danger normally, but if they've got a backup, it's probably not a bad thing.
No, they gave no...
Let the actor... he's not going to be putting us into a nursing home. Let him work the front desk.
I'll tell you about my... They're going straight in. At the legal age that I can put them in, they go. Right.
We look forward to having them here.
Great.
Now, as Maureen mentioned, you went on to study acting at university. I've watched Auntie Donna. do you think it did much for you?
Yeah, I think... Well, we went through... drama school, and I wanted to be a Shakespearean actor, be a real legitimate actor. And then when we walked out, no one wanted to come see our serious plays. And so very quickly pivoted to comedy. And we took all the theatre training. We didn't really know how to write comedy and still don't potentially. And we just kind of took all the theatre training and would just convince people that what we were doing was funny. And if you just yell at people enough, if you just drill...
There is a lot of yelling in your comedy. I've seen that.
Yeah. We're a bit like Auntie Jack.
Very much like Auntie Jack. Wasn't she wonderful?
Very funny. And finally, people whose arms can be ripped off had a bit of representation.
That's right.
We had a show on the ABC, and you know, you wrote in about it. Chris Kenny on Sky News.
Oh, yes. Wonderful.
He did a whole piece about how it was a waste of taxpayers' money and how...
I would hate for the ABC to waste money on silly little sketches, people in wigs and costumes. Silly. It's interesting hearing you say, Braden, that you sort of intended on being a serious actor, because I've been wanting to know, studying the works of Shakespeare and Brecht...
And, Bertolt Brecht
and those sorts of wonderful people. Do you think that that had a strong influence on say, your Morning Brown sketch?
In a way.
In what way?
In that I learnt about that and then did that, so it was in the ecosystem. Like Bertolt Brecht was that popular theatre? Was that what it was called? That was for the people. It was about reflecting
holding a mirror up to society.
And I guess by doing a song about how you have coffee and then you do heaps of fucks. I guess he's holding a mirror up to society.
It's a modern Brecht take on Brecht, is what you're saying.
It's a Broden Brecht.
You're familiar with the sketch, aren't you?
It's how you have a coffee and then you have heaps of what?
Cop some roots, really. You go around copping roots. To be it's rude, it's rude.
Roots.
Maybe it's a bit more Oscar Wilde than
I shouldn't have bothered
Brecht.
With the tea. Would you like a coffee instead?
No, thank you.
Well, viewers, sadly, that's all the time we have for today.
Oh, it was lovely to meet you both.
Yeah, good on you, Buster. Good on you, Champ. good on you, mate.
Good on you, knackers.
Good on you, big boy. Now, thank you for listening and watching along here. Don't forget to recommend another cuppa to your favourite improv comedian. Yes, and. Until the next time we see you, hooroo!
Hooroo!
Bye. Bye-bye.
Good night, Australia.
Bye-bye.
Another cuppa.
Why not?
No, I want a coffee.
No, I'll do the milk if you can do the tea.
Around Rootin, that sounds very good. Cappuccino, please.